Recording.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Khadija.
And it is trash day once again. We're finally caught up on 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 2. This is episode 13.
Thank God, because I was struggling.
We got caught up just in time for them to take a mid-season break, so...
Wait, they're taking a mid-season break?
They are. They announced it last night when I was watching the episode. So, last night's
we rushed
for nothing.
So, I mean, not for nothing, for you guys.
For you guys.
You're wonderful. Thank you for listening.
We should have known. We should have known something was going to throw a fork in this.
That's good for us. Yeah. Anyways.
But basically, episode 13 is a shit show. We start off with Devin and Jihoon.
Which, this isn't a shit
this
show.
This is kind of cute.
So, today is the baby's 100th celebration, like, of his 100th day alive. And it's super cute. The baby's super fucking cute.
Everybody's dressed in traditional Korean outfits. But before this happens, Devin is supposed to cook with Jihoon's mom to get ready for the party.
Part of the shit show. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, this was a shit show because the way the translator fucked them up. So Jihoon and Drusilla leave, which I'm surprised that he even was let near this child again after the way they overreacted about him letting her run away.
And of course, the grandma doesn't trust him.
No, but I don't really know where she's hanging out at during this time.
Oh, no, she's with Jihoon's parents.
But Devin is with his mom cooking. So where's her mom?
No, that was another episode where they took her to the grocery store.
Yeah.
She's probably hanging at the hotel. She's apparently been doing things on her own.
So Jihoon's mom and her are trying to cook, and they're trying to talk. They're trying to, like, bond, and... Mm-hmm.
They can't really communicate with each other, having to use a translator, and Jihoon's mom is teaching her how to make, like, this
the
traditional
translator
meal.
Is making it seem like his mom is being a total asshole.
And Devin already thinks that, or Devin already is just like, she hates me, like, kind of mindset.
The translator says, okay, so Devin's, like, asking his mom, Jihoon's mom, she's like, what do you expect from a daughter-in-law? Like, it's the Korean expectation. And she's like, not much. And then the translator's like, I don't have any hope. And when really she was saying my expectations aren't, like, unrealistic. But the thing was, like, I don't expect much from you, bitch. Like, that's basically what the translator was saying.
And then, like, one part is just, like, Devin asks if she should, like, say hello to everyone. And it, like, says, like...
Don't just say hello. Only say hello.
And she's just like, oh, so she doesn't want me to talk. And she was like, she's already treating me like a dimwit. And I was like, she's just showing you how to cut carrots. And she's saying you're not cutting it thinly enough.
She was hacking those carrots terribly.
And then Devin says, she says in the translator, well, where I'm from, or like,
it doesn't matter what it looks like.
It just matters that it tastes good. And I was, and her mom, like, I mean, his mom was just
like,
kinda,
laughed.
She just laughed. She didn't think anything of it. She was just like, oh, that's kind of funny. But I mean, she was just laughing because she wasn't able to cut. She was struggling to cut this carrot. Okay. Like, she was hardcore struggling. Jihoon's mom made it look easy, and Devin was like trying.
I'm sorry, if you know how to cook, that shit is easy. She
it
obviously
is.
Just
I don't
maybe don't know how to wield a knife
before, but she does have two kids. Well, I mean, she has Drusilla to feed because the baby doesn't eat solid food probably
not yet. He's only 100 days old.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, so they're just getting ready for the party. The translator really fucked shit up. The translator was basically like, telling Devin that she needed to say hello and thank you and shut
and
the fuck
better.
Up otherwise. But you can't really go wrong if you just say hello and thank you and shut the fuck up sometimes. So,
this
I mean, it was sound advice. But we get to the party. It's really cutely set up.
Yes.
It's like a nice venue. Again, they're all in their traditional Korean wear.
The baby's in traditional clothes.
The baby is so cute. Jihoon's dad is just, like, carrying him around everywhere.
Yes,
he's just, like, kicking. And, like, he kind of has a big head, but, like, it's adorable. And there's a hat on it. It is just so cute.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
so, Devin is kind of worried that Jihoon's family will not accept her because of the culture.
Yeah, their culture doesn't really accept single mothers.
Yeah,
especially,
and she has two.
And she's... Yeah, they're not married, and she's from somewhere else, so...
Yeah. There's cultural differences and stuff like that. But, I mean, everything goes well. Her family...
Yeah, his family is super accepting of her. Even his grandmother.
Yeah, he asked the grandmother, will you accept Drusilla as being, like, your granddaughter? And she was like,
of course.
Course.
His grandmother was adorable.
Yeah.
And even I mean, his aunt, like, he had some aunts that were like, we were kind of worried at first, but when we saw them together and saw the baby, we were reassured that this
was,
like...
But once they saw the baby, that's what they really... Yeah, but they're just, like, you know, happy for him, and, you know, Devin is just, like, I feel like Ji-hoon is stepping up, and he does love the kids, and I'm like, what has changed since yesterday? Like, you were just yelling at him.
And Alicia doesn't act nuts during this party. She doesn't.
She's very happy.
She maybe should have dressed traditionally, too. I feel like.
Well, I think it's just for the parents. I don't think his parents dress traditionally. Everyone else was in, like, regular clothes.
Nobody was in some booty shorts looking like that but her.
She's American. She had to look American.
I know.
She had a part to play.
But she did not act crazy, thank God. I was worried mostly about her and her conducting herself.
But I mean, it was a good day. I don't think she's going to ruin her grandson's, like, moment. But also don't put it past her either. But that's it for them in this episode. Then we get to Binyam and Ariella, and they're on some bullshit.
This episode stressed me out too. So Ariella's mom is, it's time for her to go. She's tried everything she can to convince this bitch, go home with me. Ugh. And basically, until her mom is on the plane and leaving, she's like, I want to stay.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Binyam and Ariella are alone on the bench outside of the airport, she's like,
this just breaks it to him. She's just like,
I don't think. First of all, the angling of this shot, whoever DP'd this, fuck you. You picked the most.
DP'd this, maybe you should probably use the actual words.
Okay, whoever, excuse me, in film, the DP is, it depends on if you're watching adult films or otherwise. Anyways, is the director of photography. So whoever was the person picking the angles to shoot from, Ariella looked angles, like E.T. She looked like E.T. the way she was scrunching up her fucking face.
Oh, my God.
I watched it last night.
She was crying.
I watched it last night with Chris and Amanda, and when I said she looked like E.T., everybody just lost it, because it just... She was just, like, awkwardly holding her face.
Yeah.
And she said, first of all, she called her mom her best friend in a positive gangster.
Yes. And I was like, stop. Her mom asked her, she's like, you know what I am? And she was like, a positive gangster.
And I was like, hard R. I was like, stop.
I was like, what the fuck is happening? But anyways, he's trying to comfort her as soon as his mom, or as soon as her mom leaves,
she's
like, as much as
like
possible.
She, like, hits him by saying, she looks like she's about to vomit. She's like, I'm not looking forward to spending time with you.
Alone. And I was like, ooh.
And she's like, I
go ahead and pack your bags, baby girl. Go ahead and,
like,
pack your bags.
I don't think you understand me. No. I don't. I feel lost.
And
I'm
like, you want to say this now?
What?
And like, okay, like 80% of this, I feel like, is her really, really, like, her true feelings coming out, and like 20%, like, pregnancy hormones.
I feel like some of it was her trying to prove a point to her mom. Like, I don't need to move back to Connecticut with you. I'm a real girl.
Oh my God. I mean, she is doing, she also does mention that she feels like she's just doing what's best for the situation because they are having a baby. And I mean, I'm sure she doesn't have a baby out of wedlock. I'm sure she's just trying to make it work. But I'm like, do you guys even have anything in common besides the fact that you guys were physically attracted to each other? Like, and he's just trying his best.
The way she leaves it is just, like, stressful. Yeah. She just literally, I'm like,
why
are you still here? Or, like, why did you go through with this? Like,
And now his family isn't going to want to be around her or trust her, because I'm sure Binyam's going to, like, I mean, if he's smart, he wouldn't express this to his family or vent to them about it.
Everything she's saying is so negative.
Yeah, once her mom left, it just kind of sucked the air out of everything, and she was just like, I can't be here. Like, I think she's also having doubts. Like, that was the last, I understand her kind of having this freak out, because that was the last bit of home that she had left. Like, like she said, it felt like a vacation when her mom was there.
Yeah.
It felt like, you know, a piece of home was with her. Because her mom been there for, like, what? They've been there for a week?
They were there for, she's probably there for, like, 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, they've already done a bunch of stuff together, but, like, this is kind of, like, the last time she'll see her mom for a long time. Because her mom does mention, like,
they can't just keep coming back and forth for the birth and everything.
Yeah, she was like, if you need it, she's like, don't be scared. She was like, don't feel stupid, but, like, if you need a ticket, I will send you a ticket back. And I was like, wow, the privilege of being able to, like, fly back to your home country and take your baby with you.
And she does not have much time to decide if she's going to go back home before she has the baby.
She has, like,
because
a week
she's,
or two.
Yeah, getting to the point where they're not going to clear her to fly, especially not internationally.
You guys won't stalk her? She'll just pretend that she's fat.
They don't really know she's pregnant if they scan her. I feel like...
I don't know. In Ethiopia? Well, she'd have to have some layovers, I feel.
Yeah. But I really don't think she's staying. I think she's going to leave. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work.
I don't think so either. I'm
just the worst part for me was Binyam was like so blindsided.
Yeah.
He just was trying his damnedest. But he also lied a lot
too.
He did, but I feel like in that moment, like he was doing a really good job, like listening and trying to comfort her.
He was so sweet. He was petting her and like, you know, holding her and things like that. And she was just like,
while he's holding her and coddling her,
I don't look forward to being alone with you. Who the fuck says that?
When she said that, I was like, what?
You know, I was like, if I were him, I would have just fucking, like,
I would have been like, well, you were at the airport, bye.
I'd have pushed you off the bench and be like, fuck you.
Right. God.
But that's it for them in this episode.
Cliffhanger right there.
Yeah, we go to Kenny and Armando. And Armando has decided to take Kenny and his daughters go get tacos, and Kenny hates guac, and like I told you guys before, and
he's a picky eater and a germaphobe.
Yeah.
But how do you not like guac?
I hate him for not liking guac. He already is. He's not making a good impression of me right now.
No.
But Kenneth has to pee, and he asks Armando, like, how to flee. He has to call
Armando.
He
goes to the bathroom. It's not up to code in any sense.
By American standards, but I mean, it's a toilet.
Yeah. It's got water in it. Yeah. It's also got some extra stuff floating around in there right now. Because you got to take this tetanus can. It literally is like a can. It would
be better if it was plastic, like a plastic label.
I just was worried that somebody was going to cut themselves on the lip of the can. Yeah. Because it literally was like a can, a giant can. They have like a can and like one of those like
water drain, barrels.
Like those, yeah, like it's a water drum, like a water drum thing. And you literally have to take this
can. It's like a Folgers can.
And like dip it in the water and then like flush it at the right angle.
Yes.
I've had to do this before.
Sometimes you have to do it to get a clog out. Like, yeah. That's how the best way to do it is just to pour water into your
toilet. Yeah, you manually flushing it.
If you do it to a toilet here at home, like it literally will do it if you just pour like a bucket of water down your toilet.
Yeah, as long as you pour it towards the hole and like. Yeah. And but anyways, it's like he's never had to do that before. And he's a germaphobe. I get it. It is.
But I'm like, the bucket probably, well, I mean, if the person had to wipe, so then the bucket might have some things on it. But I was like, I just thought he was overreacting a lot for what was happening.
Because there was
like,
soap in there to wash your hands.
Yeah, he like holds the corner of the
If he hadn't overreacted, and, like, he wouldn't have dropped the bucket and dropped water everywhere. He just made it so much worse.
And I mean, Armando's just laughing at him because he's just like, you're being ridiculous right now. But anyways, it's a whole crisis. They finally exit the bathroom and like they're eating.
This was really sad.
Yeah, they're eating and they're having like a little bit of playful time.
Yeah,
and
then Armando is actually comfortable with being affectionate and he kind of like pokes Ken's stomach. And then this dickwad walks by and says something.
That's
he basically said the equivalent of the equivalent of
the F word basically.
Yeah, the F word in Spanish. And you know, nobody at the table but Armando knew what he said.
Yeah, but
and then Armando explains, and everyone,
his whole demeanor changes.
Yeah, it does. He's like immediately. It's like you literally watched him like opening up, and then just
shut back,
just right back, even worse. And so it was just like, what the fuck? Like, and you know, his daughters are upset. Everybody's upset, and it's just like really an eye opener for like. You might be in danger there, Kenny. Yeah. You need to actually.
He wasn't fucking around. Like, he was just like, this is exactly why I didn't want to, you know, be, you know, affectionate with you in public. It's like, it's scary. And I know, and like, I can understand these people. So like, I'm going to be the one that has to really deal with it.
Yeah.
If they say it to you in Spanish, you won't even fucking know. Except unless they're
somebody
like yelling at you.
Somebody just comes up to you yelling. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he also kind of grew up in this culture and grew up in this country, so he understands, like, what the dangers are. And Kenny's just like, I don't give a fuck, fuck them. Like, this is America, and, you know, you have your rights. But I'm like, yeah, they have their rights in Mexico, but at the same time, people are going to come for you more than they
hate crimes are still very real. I know that for Kenneth, it's like, okay, no, it's not the 80s. No, it's not
I mean, he's
as
also
bad
from
here, but yeah. It's still dangerous.
It could be dangerous, and I mean, he doesn't want to get into a fight or anything. And I mean,
if somebody's willing to walk by a film crew and say that, imagine if you guys were in a dark alley
sure
or something.
Probably
like,
set that shit up.
Yeah, of course. That's probably like the one PA they had that spoke Spanish, and they were like, we're going to let you have some extra fruit snacks if you go buy them.
Not extra fruit snacks.
You know, crafty in the fruit
we'll
snacks.
We'll give you a voice credit. But, so, you know, Kenneth's his daughters are upset, and like one of them is just like yelling, like, no, like, I want to, like, you know, give that guy a piece of my mind. And I'm like, you're in another country.
You're tiny. Yeah. You're like 95 pounds and really pale.
I understand you're upset, but like, you just need to sit down and shut up. And Armando literally is like turning pale. It's just like, no.
Yeah.
You are not going to say anything to him. Like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
But they have extremely different backgrounds. It's going to take some time for them to both adjust.
Now, I think they have a better understanding of each other. I think Armando will continue to hopefully open up a little bit despite that happening. But depending, I think Kenny realizes, like, oh, shit, like, no wonder. It's not just him on a personal level. It's not just him being overly shy. No. It's actually a real threat.
Oh, yeah.
But that's really it for them.
We then go to Tim and Melissa.
Tim's an idiot because he thinks that he can work without a work permit in a foreign country because he's an American, and he thinks that people are just going to be so desperate to hire his American ass.
And I'm like, it doesn't work
that way. He literally goes to, like, temp agency. Oh my God, I forgot. So,
idiot.
Tim is wearing a horribly matched outfit. He's wearing black shoes with brown pants, which is a fashion faux pas. He's wearing really tight khakis that would have been tight 40 pounds ago. But here he is in his tight pants. Stop fat shaming Tim. I am not fat shaming him. We've all
because everyone else keeps bringing it up. We have to bring up the fact that,
everyone else brings it up. It's kind of a running joke. Also, I hate Tim. So any chance to pick at him? Listen, if I try to put on my pants from pre-quarantine, it would not happen. I had to change my pants after dinner. You were there.
You're like, jeans have to come on.
I have to put on my sweats. But anyways, so he's in his outfit outside. He calls a taxi. He thinks he's doing well. A guy shows up on like a moped, like a crotch rocket, and
a
is like
very small motorcycle.
He's like, hey man, here's the helmet. You called a taxi, right? And Tim's like,
he gets on and hops.
And even if his pants had not been that tight, I don't think he would have made the ride. But yeah, he gets on, halfway puts the helmet on, and is like, no. Then he calls another taxi, which is like a tiny car like Melissa's, but he gets in there, he goes to the temp agency, and this motherfucker is dumb, because the lady is like asking him in Spanish, like, can you describe yourself in three words? You want to know what the first word this idiot says is? Finances. What?
And then he says teamwork.
And then I don't even know if he had a third word. First of all, they meant adjectives, baby. None of those were adjectives.
No.
Descriptive words about yourself. Finances.
And, like, she didn't even get teamwork because he was like, I don't know if there's a Spanish word for teamwork. Because he was like,
she just said trying to fill in the blanks. I think he literally just thought that they were going to, like, hire him because he was American. No. Like,
and I was just like, you have to have a work permit. Like, are you an idiot?
Have you ever watched this idiot show that you
agreed to be on? And I was like, also, doesn't he have a job? So why is he at the temp agency?
Probably just to meet some coworkers.
Oh, stop. Oh, you saw right through all of this shit.
He's like, I can't work remotely because how am I going to trifle?
Exactly. That's it for Tim. I mean, that's just it for Tim. It's just Tim basically going on an adventure.
Yeah, we don't even really see Melissa. Melissa? We see it both ways. Melissa. Yeah, Melissa.
Brittany and Yazin.
They're at the hookah bar, which really makes me wish the time in life where you could go to the hookah bar. Honestly. You can go. They're open, but you ain't gonna catch me there.
Oh, hell no.
Breathing into the air, water droplets.
Sucking in that fucking water.
Replaceable tip or not, it's just not happening.
The hose. The whole, everything.
Yeah. But, anyways. Okay, we learned that they, again, were having a disagreement because Brittany's whole ass is on Instagram, which, whatever, it's fine. It's a very Americanized picture. It's your typical Instagram pose. Her friends with her. They're
over the shoulder.
The over the shoulder looking back. Look back at it.
Look back at it.
Yeah. But anyways.
He
tagged a picture. Somehow his family saw it. They went through her page. They texted out the picture and said she was butt ass naked. Now, at least 93% of her body was out. But the tiddly bits were covered for the most part. Her asshole wasn't visible.
Cheeks were out.
Yeah.
cheeks were exposed. I mean, she lives in Miami, so of course she's, and I mean, she has a great body, so
yeah. They had already had issues with her having social media in the first place.
Yes, and she even says that she keeps her social media up
just to be like, no, you're not going to get me to compromise on this.
Yeah, and she even says to him, like, you know, yeah, I get super petty when I'm mad. And I was like, that's where I have an issue.
She was being verbally abusive in the text messages that were read aloud that they were reading, because she was like, you're weak, and she just was like shaming the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
I get that he can't really stand up and say anything because he doesn't approve of you posting those things either. So who are you really trying to make a point to, Brittany?
And they pretty much just kind of like, she was pissed at him because he was like flip-flopping. She felt like he was flip-flopping because he was just like, I'm not marrying you. And I was like, yeah, because he doesn't agree with the pictures that you posted. He doesn't agree like with you wearing that bathing suit and posting those pictures online. And you know, they pretty much just like sweep everything under the rug. Like, they're having like a passive aggressive argument
right
in the restaurant.
And like the thing about them reading the text aloud that she sent, it makes me realize that she is more, what's the word? I don't know. She's like putting on for the cameras a lot, and she would never have said that really on camera that way. And so it just kind of made me like,
I think she would. I think she called
maybe, but like the way she was doing it, she just was like, multiple messages like over and over again, just like demeaning him. And I was like, this is not a good look, Brittany.
No, but that is what happens with them. And she also asked him to spend the night, and he says no respectfully.
He's like, I'm a virgin. I gotta stay a virgin. Yeah. Stop, you damn temptress.
Basically. And I was like, this is why it would have been better if you guys just stayed. If she just stayed over.
If y'all had just stayed on America. Skype. If y'all just kept this on Skype, it would have been okay.
And kept it cute. But that's everything for episode 13. Should we do predictions?
Sure. We haven't really done any.
Let's start from the top. Bop, 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 bop to the top.
Ariella is leaving.
She's for sure leaving.
On a jet plane. That baby ain't coming back again.
That baby's going to be an American citizen.
Yeah.
Devin and Jihoon.
They were cute this episode. Yeah, there's going to be something.
He's gonna do better if he has to confront her mom and like have that, take that ass whooping that she's about to like unleash on him.
Yeah.
And then she's still very
much so pissed.
If
Felicia leaves and Jihoon stops.
Felicia?
No.
If
Felicia leaves and his mom, if Jihoon gets off his mom's tit for a second, I think he'll be okay. He's just an idiot.
Yeah, he is. He just needs to get it together. The parents are stepping back.
Child.
They're just letting him like do
his thing. Tim is gonna cry some more.
Yes, of course. Maylisa's still not gonna trust him unless he takes the big step. But now
Sumit is gonna get kidnapped.
I don't think he will, but I think that he's gonna have to choose between his family for sure, for sure. And Jenny, and he's gonna get cut off.
Yeah. I think they're going to be like, we're not going to let you get divorced now. We're not going to finance that. Actually, I think culturally they wouldn't. I think they wouldn't allow the family of the bride to not get paid back because that's just how
their
culture is.
They don't
want to
look like a bad family.
Exactly. I don't think they want anything. But I think that they would.
Speaking of Indian culture, do you want to get Indian food sometime?
Yes. Like, I wanted to eat Indian food last night.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Night.
I forgot. Oh, yeah.
It's okay. We'll get it.
We'll order that. Maybe tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay,
Armando and Kenneth will probably have a difficult time with his family.
Yeah.
I think they may surprise us. I think that his family would be more willing to come around than, say, like, Sumit's family.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's up in the air, but I feel like they will come around. I think the sister might come around, the mom, but I don't know if the dad will. I just don't know. Because they're also, I feel like it's going to be a lot for them. They're going to feel like he's taking their son away and their granddaughter, and it's just a lot.
I think also, this is just another random prediction, I think somehow it's going to get revealed super quickly that Brittany's still married. Somebody's going to find it out.
That's what I thought they were going to reveal. Whenever he was just like, we got into an argument last night.
I thought, and then it was just the picture, and I was like, but wait, there's more. Just wait till y'all really find out
that
what's going on.
Her dad's not coming at the end of the month. I don't really know, but I mean, well, it showed in the preview that Brittany was going to Chicago for some reason. She was like, well, I haven't entirely told him the truth about why I'm going to Chicago, and I'm like, I don't know what it would be for, because her divorce would be done, I guess, in Florida.
In Florida.
She's
probably got some kind of like.
But Yasin's sister or cousin or sister or whatever lives in Chicago. That's how she met him when she went up to go visit her.
Oh, yeah.
Family member.
I don't know what she's going there to do.
I don't know either. But yeah, Binyam and Ariella. Ariella, like, starts going off on him in the next episode, apparently. And she's just like, I don't want to be here. And he's like, I'm done.
Oh, yeah, we saw that preview.
He's like, I'm done. Like, he literally says
she's like, I need a bathroom. I need this. And I'm like, girl, I feel you.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant, I don't think I could have done it. But.
And I'm like, then have the baby in America and come back over.
Exactly.
But I mean, I understand she wants him to be there for the birth. It just sucks that he can't come to America.
At the end of the day, he don't gotta be. The only person that's gotta be there is you.
Yeah. Pushing that baby out.
Yeah.
But we should.
I wish I had been alone when I had given birth. Fuck.
Everyone, get out.
I just don't. The only people that I have any faith in are Kenny and Armando. Yeah. And I still worry about their safety now, especially, and about what's going to happen with his family.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's the end of episode 13. Welcome back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Khadijah.
And I'm Catherine, and it is trash day.
Again. But this is our mid-season finale of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, season 2. Episode
14. So the series will be coming back on October 11th. Yes. We were left on a shit ton of cliffhangers, so we shall see what happens.
Yes, October 11th. We will see if we start something else after this, but yeah, let's get into what happens.
So we start with Sumit and Jenny. He's going to go see his parents.
Yes, and Jenny pretty much has a 10-year travel visa, or I guess get visitor visa.
Yeah, so she has to leave every 180 days.
Which is basic.
Doesn't really make sense.
Wait, is it 180 days? It's almost a half a year. It's almost
every
6 months.
She has to
leave.
So
every 6 months she has to go basically back to the U.S., or I guess leave the country. But yeah, Jenny pretty much, they end up talking about how Jenny lived with him and his parents for a few months back in like 2013.
So this is like the most shocking revelation yet.
Yeah.
Also, we learned that she was only supposed to stay for like a weekend or a week, and this bitch stayed for 4 months.
Like, she was there for a long time.
She befriended his mom. Yes. They were like super close.
Oh yeah, they were sneaking around at nighttime. So it was like going up to her part of the house and was just like, you know, spending time with her, you know what they were doing at nighttime. Mm-hmm. And then sneaking back downstairs to, you know, pretend like nothing happened. And his family caught them and they were very upset about that.
I just think it's so disgusting that she violated their trust like that. Like,
yes.
She came into their home, she overstayed her welcome to an extent, then she befriended his mom, who's like younger than her.
And she was just like, I really like Jenny, and like, I just thought they were friends. And she was like, I never expected him and her to betray our trust like this. And, you know, it was just a lot for them to take in. And Jenny's pissed at the mom.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, you need to get over it. And I'm like, that's her son.
You
and, like,
literally,
you
it was almost like you were a predator in their house.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you
how
were
she
totally
feels.
Violating their trust. Even aside from all the cultural expectations and everything, even if that had happened here, it still was very predatory.
It's shady.
And it happened in their house. You were violating their wishes in their house with their son.
Oh,
and,
yeah. And mind you, Smeet was not married at the time. So, like, it wasn't like he was her, you know, she was his mistress. But either way, that was violating their trust. They
yeah, this happened in, like,
2014, 2013.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Smeet is pretty much going to meet with his parents, and
Jenny doesn't know if he's even going to come back after
no,
he
don't.
Meets with them.
Pretty much later on in the episode, Jenny's like, okay, Sumit, I'll see you later. Basically, hopefully they don't kidnap you. And we go and meet Sumit's parents, and
they are ready to spill the tea.
They're all of the
tea. Way that they're posing in front of the camera right before
they're
they
just
start
like,
talking,
oh,
they're like, and here's our side of the story. Get ready.
Yeah, and they pretty much tell us everything about how they were welcoming Jenny. Jenny was there under the guise of being a Facebook friend to Sumit, and they were just pretty much, she wanted to come and see India. They opened up their home to her, and when they found out that they were sneaking around and sleeping with each other under their own roof and, like, not being honest about their relationship, they were pissed. They were just like, we also had envisioned our
having
son,
grandkids,
you know, marrying someone younger, having grandkids, being able to play with our grandkids, raise, you know, them and help and all that stuff. And they're just like devastated that all of this kind of happened. And I understand like their frustration with Jenny because she betrayed their trust. I understand their frustration with Smeet because he betrayed their trust. And on top of that, they continue their relationship after Smeet had pretty much been arranged to get married to someone else. It's just all
I was bad. Not expecting it. I thought his parents just didn't like the idea of their relationship. Now
yeah.
I totally understand why they're pissed. because they both lied to his parents. They mm-hmm. violated their home, like, just so many things that I wasn't expecting. Like, I just thought maybe they were being unreasonable and not willing to listen. And it's like, they obviously are super nice people if they let this bitch stay for 4 months and befriended her.
Yeah, they literally have pictures of them, like, in each embracing each other. Like, it's that they were close. They really, 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 really liked having Jenny there. But that's pretty much all that happens for them. I mean, he pretty much shows up there and they cut it off. That's like the
thing. Yeah, we don't know how the conversation goes. I don't know if I necessarily have any predictions because I don't
really have too many predictions except for them just pretty much really hashing things out. I feel like we'll have more tea to sip on during this conversation. But I really don't think that there is going to be too much of a resolution until Jenny apologizes. I think she needs to be up there.
She's going to have to go before his parents and ask for their forgiveness. And I don't know if there's really anything that she can do to earn their trust back because of how she violated it.
But that's pretty much it for them. And then we move on to Jihoon and Devin.
Alicia is finally leaving. Yeah,
they've been in Korea for 2.5 weeks now, and they're going to a tea shop, Devin and Alicia, to basically, you know, kind of have like their little last moments before she goes bye-bye.
Alicia is using every opportunity she can to slip in here how much she disapproves, how worried that she is. And also, Devin left Jihoon with the two kids, and we cut to them, and Drusilla's just, like, beating the hell out of Jihoon. She's bad.
And then they cut back to Devin and Alicia, and they're just like, oh, she's probably bullying him. And I'm like, they laugh about it, and I'm like, your daughter has no home training. Like,
no,
your daughter,
she's a menace.
Yeah, and
I get it, she's three, but I also have, well, she's not three anymore, but
It's a lot. But anyways, they're pretty much, you know, talking, and her mom is literally like, I'm terrified. She's doing this dramatic ass metaphor about a train and train tracks and how they're heading down a
fucking broken track. Yeah, she can see that the bridge ahead is out, but they're already on the train and it's too late. And I'm like, Alicia,
you don't have to just let it be a train wreck. Chill. If it is.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, you can't really do anything. If Devin is choosing to stay there, then she's just going to choose to stay there. But they, you know, have that whole entire moment to themselves. They end up going back to the apartment, and it's time for her to go. And, like, it is pretty much a sad moment, of course. I mean, her mom is leaving. She spent majority of her time with her mom during her pregnancy, her first one, her second one, and, like, after she had the baby, she was still there.
Exactly.
Because Jihoon fucked up. But, you know,
Jihoon is so relieved.
Yeah, he's so relieved that Alicia is leaving, which I completely understand at the same time.
This is literally the only moment. Yeah, this is literally the only moment that I've liked Jihoon or, like, related to him was, like, as soon as Alicia's gone, he just, like, looks at the camera and, like, just, like, yes.
But yeah, I mean, Alicia should be worried. He has fucked up, and I understand where she's coming from, but they just kind of have to work it out and let the cards fall where they fall. Like, that's just that. But what is your,
So he's texting and calling his mom, because apparently he has her credit card, because he borrowed money for gas.
Which, I don't really give a shit about
You know that. What? He can borrow all the money he wants from his mom. Yeah, I was gonna say, let him borrow money from his mom as long as he's not asking you, girl. But that's really kind of where we leave them. She's talking about how that he can't borrow any more money, that it has to be just them from now on.
And she's,
I just don't think they're gonna last long.
No,
I don't
he's
think,
worried about their relationship, of course.
Yeah, they're both talking about how it's hanging on a thread, and I just don't see any long-term, I don't see any long-term commitment.
They barely know each other. Like, she literally got pregnant the first time they had sex, which I'm pretty sure was not long after they've met each other.
No, it's probably, like, the first night they hooked up. The first night they, like, he probably got off the plane, went to the hotel, and then they made a baby.
Yeah, they're just forcing things to work. Oh, one of the funny parts is when Alicia was leaving, Jihoon was just like, I'll miss you.
She didn't say a damn thing.
No, I laughed so hard. I was like, why are you lying, Jihoon?
Yes.
But speaking of people that don't belong together.
And people that are just trying to force things to work.
Well, Binyam and Ari. Binyam, he's doing his best, but Ari is just
so
bad.
Ariella is, first of all, she's giving him her entire internal dialogue. I need her to rein it back in and keep some of this shit to herself.
Yes.
Especially because, like, she keeps talking about how he doesn't understand her, but, like, she you don't says, even under-
love you every 5 minutes.
I was gonna say, you don't even understand you. There's so many mixed messages and signals going on here.
She's second-guessing herself. She's like, why did I even come out here? I'm having a baby in a country that, like, you know, like, I'm not familiar with a guy that I barely really know, but I love him. I'm like, bitch, what is it? And I was like, honestly, I feel like the frustration with us, with her, is just, like, some of it is pregnancy hormones and the other
a lot of it's just privilege.
Yeah, it's privilege and just emotion. I'm like, you really, like, this was a bad idea to begin with. Like, you should have just had the baby there, figure out how to get him over here, and then just call it a day. Because this is just too much for you. Like, you're way too stressed out about this right now. And now is not the moment for you to be like, I don't really, you know, feel happy, you know, about being alone with you for the first time. What the fuck? Who the fuck says that?
She just keeps saying shit that's, like, devastating him.
Mm-hmm. And then being like, I love you, and putting a Band-Aid on it.
I just don't get it. And she, eventually, they, like, end up, like, kind of leaving the conversation as it is. He's trying to tell her, you know, we can fix this.
He's being extremely supportive. He's doing all of the right things. Like, if I was in the situation, I would appreciate what
he's,
like, him is doing.
In tears. Like, he is very visibly upset that she's just going on
and
about how this ain't gonna work.
And she's just like, you know, I can leave and, like,
I like to have options.
Yeah, like, she's saying all these things that are gonna trigger him to be, like, really upset or feel, you know, like, hesitant to be with you because you're giving him red flags and, like, this already happened to him once before.
Exactly.
And, like, you already knew this. You know what's happening. Like, you have all the information at this point, and he's trying to comfort you as much as he possibly can, but you're not even giving him, like, a little bit. He's just like, I understand that you're stressed out, but, like, what do you want me to do? And she's just like, you need to do more. You need to do more. I'm like,
yeah, so then they go to look at an apartment, and I don't know how they're supposed to afford this. Then they tell us that it's $1,400 a month. That's a mortgage payment here, more than a mortgage payment here. He reveals that he makes, like, $500 a month. So this is, instead of, okay, so normally your rent's supposed to be, like, a third or a fourth of your income. This is 3 times more than his income, so it's about 6 times what they should actually be paying for rent. And, you know, she doesn't seem bothered. She's like, oh, this is nice. It has hot water, da-da-da-da-da. And then her true colors really pop out when he's like, I literally can't afford this. Because they're back in the taxi, and she's just, like, yelling, basically, about how, you know, if it was about the money for the other apartment, you would have asked me for money,
and
we're
like,
not going
to
be able to
ask
this.
Like, ask your parents for money. If you want to get a better apartment, you know how much money he makes. You need to put in. You need to contribute. Like, if you can't work, then ask your parents for money or get a work visa or whatever.
Whatever you
like,
need
you're
to
gonna
do.
Have to put in to this. You already know, like, what you're getting into. Moving to Ethiopia. You knew what his lifestyle was beforehand. Like, this is, like, bad, like, planning. There was no planning. There was no forethought about any of this. It was just kind of on a whim of emotions. And I'm happy that she decided that she wanted to do the right thing. But, like, you're trying to do the right thing by forcing this relationship, and it's just not happening. Like, you're making yourself more miserable. And I'm just like, you're beating a dead horse. Like, you need to just rip the Band-Aid off. Tell him that you don't want to be with him, that you really don't love
and
him.
And if
like
you
that.
Don't plan on letting him be a part of this baby's life, don't ever let him into it. If you're going to leave him, you should do it before this baby is born and he gets attached. I know it's a tough decision.
At the end of the day,
but,
like, she should have joint custody with him. Like, she shouldn't just take the baby.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not. And then she's going to be like, oh, he's such a deadbeat or blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like, that's not, like, it's not okay. And on top of that, like, if you really, truly did love him at any capacity, you wouldn't just take the baby away from him. He didn't do anything wrong to you. Like,
no.
You just basically lived completely 2 different lifestyles. You guys just shouldn't have fucked each other. Like, I'm just gonna
or
say
if
that.
if you fucked, you should have figured something else out. You guys should not have let it get to this point where you're
before
at right
you're
now.
Now having these conversations and you're having these, like, you know, feelings.
And, like, he's just begging her, like, give me a week, please, I'll work on it, this, that, and there. She's like, no, I'm not fucking staying
it
here.
It just goes downhill from there, and they just completely, like...
Now, granted, everything that needs to be fixed isn't going to be fixed in a week, but if she's not even willing to try,
the
I just
the other apartment,
don't
the first
understand.
One that he showed her was fine.
It really was. It wasn't that much different than the one they looked at. I mean,
except
for the bathroom. Yeah, but it's not like... It was that insanely elaborate,
and he's just
though.
Like, he's like, that one costs like $160 a month versus apartment 1400. He makes, he's literally trying to live within his means, and he's just like, this is how I can support us. You're not helping, like, contribute to this household, so what the fuck do you expect me to do?
It's just a mess. It's not gonna work. It's gonna end very badly. I predict, like, I mean, obviously she's gonna have the baby in some capacity. That's, they can't stop that from happening at this point.
But she's like, I only have a few more weeks and I can leave, like, if I have, if I need to.
I was gonna say, it's just a matter of, like, where is she gonna have the baby? Yeah. I don't even know what's gonna happen.
Well, in the preview,
it does show that she has the baby there, but.
Well, she has to have a C-section, and she's just like, when am I supposed to have the baby? And they're like,
today. They don't just tell you you're going to have an emergency C-section for shits and giggles.
Emergency C-section means emergency, like, right now.
Yeah, like, we're fitting to gas you up and take you back. Like, get ready. You're about to have a baby. And I'm wondering, like, if they don't even have a place to live, like, obviously she doesn't have... You need a lot of shit for a baby, especially a newborn. Like, you need, like... a car seat, which I don't know what the laws are over there, but you still need the carrier thing, and, like, you need stroller, and you need a crib, and you need diapers. I'm like, what's the access to all of this shit? Like, what's the cultural norms over there? Like, do they cloth diaper? Do they do certain things? Are you going to breastfeed? Are you going to do any formula?
I really feel like Binion's family is going to be there for her. Like, they're going to be there, like, surrounding her, just like, okay.
They do have their trust issues because of what happened in the past, but even if that hadn't happened, I think they would still be skeptical of her.
Yeah, it's like their nephew and, like, their cousin or whatever. So, like, they're going to be doting on that baby, of course. And they're going to be there for Ariana. So, like, if she wants someone to talk to, but because she... I don't know how willing she is to get to...
She's just too in her own head about everything.
Yeah, I think she just needs to listen, you know, talk to them, go to the women, talk, have conversations with them, because they're going to be able to relate more to you, and they also know Binion more, and they'll probably be able to give you, you know, good advice.
And also him, you know, they will be able to help.
He's been really supportive. Like, he's been amazing.
Even when she's telling him, basically, like, I don't want to fucking be with you, I don't think you understand me, I have nothing here, he's just like... I love you, and we're going to make this work, and just give me some time. And she's like, fuck you. But yeah, that's basically it for them.
She's going to go back to the United States.
She is. She's going to be right there in Princeton with that baby, and it's just going to be...
It's going to be sad.
It is. But...
His sister... Something that's not so sad. Like, we tell Jones. Anyways,
Kenny and Armando, it's not necessarily sad. The preview for the next episode is sad, but Kenny's daughters are leaving. They're also kind of upset about dinner the night before when a homophobic slur was used against them by a stranger. But his daughters are leaving. They have, like, this emotional group hug and a cry.
Yeah.
His daughters,
Kenny, Armando, and his daughters. Yes. They all were in a hug huddle.
And, you know, Kenny's daughters are just like, you know, you're going to go be a parent to Hannah. You loved raising us. I'm glad you get to do this again. Yeah. And basically, it's going to be a 4-hour drive for them to go meet his parents. And in the preview, it looked like Armando's dad was not wanting to meet Kenny and just looked super stressful. But like I said, like, they're my favorite couple because all of their issues are external. I don't really feel like they have that many issues between the two of them.
No.
They're both making sacrifices.
This is pretty much the biggest hump that they have to get over.
It's just...
Because Hannah loves Kenny.
Yeah.
Like, that's... They can go off and be happy and live and, you know, live 4 hours away. Even without his
parents' approval. It's just going to make it a lot easier if they have it.
It's going to make it hard for him because he does have, like, a very, very tight family bond. And also, it's going to be hard because how's he going to be able to take Hannah over there and, you know, they don't really accept him or his life.
Yeah.
That's what all that happens for them. And, I mean, of course, we get to... See October 11th what happens when his parents
dad like won't even come to the door, so we'll see. But then we're on to another so we have two more problematic situations to discuss, which is Brittany and Yasin. Brittany has to go back to Chicago. She's not telling Yasin why, but we all know it's divorce related.
Yes. So this girl, she had filed for divorce when she was living in Chicago, and then she didn't hear anything back from them.
So she moved to Florida and forgot about it.
And filed divorce in Florida as well. But the one in Chicago
hits her up first, and they're like, hey, by the way, here's your court date. Hope you're there.
Yeah.
So she's got to hop a plane, and Yasin can tell that, like, something's there's more wrong. To it. She's trying to just be like, oh, my sister's having her baby. And I want to be there.
Finish some things up in Chicago. blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, he's sad that she's leaving, but he's also just kind of like, I have a weird feeling. Like, it's more than just sadness. Like, yeah. I feel like something else is wrong and she's not telling
Which
you the
truth.
Which
his gut feeling is right because...
She's not telling the truth. She's lying. She's talking, she has to go finish her divorce. Yeah. And, I mean, from the preview, it does not look like she's going to be doing... anything that's
and you know she's
going to
be wilding out in Chicago.
Yes,
she's going to be posting on Instagram, pissing his family off, pissing him off. She looks hella different. I mean, I know she got her hair done, but it like she look her face looks different. I don't know. Like her face just looks different. So I'm like, what are you out here doing in Chicago? I don't care.
Yeah,
but
he's also
you know?
Worried that she's not going to come back.
Exactly that too. And
she's
that's
like,
kind of where we end up with them. Like there's. There's a lot of fighting shown in the preview for the 11th, but I don't know.
They're
I think she'll end up coming back, obviously, but it's like, will she be divorced when she
yeah.
comes back?
We also see, like, them talking to her, his uncle, and he's just like, you know, this can be very dangerous for Yasin.
Oh, yeah, because his dad literally says, I'll be the murderer of Yasin. Like,
yeah.
So that's the one thing I was mainly worried about when we first started talking about them is, like, the cultural things that could happen
yeah.
if they don't respect his family and stuff. It's just like, there can be serious consequences here. Mm. I don't think either of y'all were really thinking that through. But yeah, we'll see how that works out. Doesn't look like it's going to work out well.
No. Speaking of not going to work out well.
Oh, Tim and Melissa.
So Tim is meeting up with her after
this
his
cute
employment.
Little like ice cream shop. Whatever she's eating looks good as hell.
They're meeting up anyways. He tells her what happens, which basically the lady was just kind of like, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to get a work visa.
Okay,
but
I did notice he was saying that he talked to a guy and
mm-hmm.
he totally didn't. So I don't know if he was lying to try not to make her like jealous in any capacity. If he ever did talk to a guy, it just kind of was like one of those red flags to me. I was like, huh.
Hiding more secrets.
So then he talks about how it would be easier for him to get a work permit if she married him. And we both were like dying because she's like, no, that's not even on my mind
at all.
All.
We're not getting married anytime soon. Don't even ask. Goodbye. Next question.
So then it comes up that he still has his job at home because he wasn't sure this was going to work out. And it's just fit to be a fight. He says some shit about how she isn't committed enough and he fucking cheated on her. So I just don't even know.
And she also drops that she's like, I didn't ask you to come here.
No.
Like she's literally just like, I didn't
don't
ask you to come here.
Don't put this on me.
Don't put this on me. He's like, I feel like you're not compromising enough. And she's just like, I didn't ask you to follow me down here. And also I've made way more sacrifices for you. Matter of fact, I was on my way to move up there to be with you for 6 months before we even got married.
And
so
then
that
you cheated
on
me.
Yeah. So you came down here to try to make things quote unquote better and you want a fast fix, but you don't get a fast fix because you decided that you needed a quick nut and you cheated on her and now you're here.
And she also reveals to us that she has a secret and I'm excited. I hope she is fucking not only somebody but a hot chick. I hope her and the girl that he cheated on her with hooked up or something.
Ugh,
I don't know. I'm
I
just
don't
kidding.
Know.
But I hope that she's getting one over on him because honestly, all I
can. And that's what it kind of seems like in the previews because he's just like, you don't think I need to know who you've been sleeping with? And she's just like, I don't think I have to tell you anything.
And I'm like, girl, no, you don't. You don't know him shit. Send
and
him back home
so
to his job
really
and his cat.
Does she really want him? I mean, I think she really does care about him, but I think at this point she's just kind of like, whatever he does, I don't give a shit. Like, he can do what he wants to try to make it better, but like, I'm just gonna live my life at this point.
I think she's just at that point where she's like, I've done
yeah.
all that I can. I'm still here to try and make this work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going
above
and beyond.
Why the fuck would she move to the U.S.?
There's literally
and
nothing
then
for
his
her
coworker
there.
To still be around? No, like, Absolutely.
And like,
not. It would just be.
Is the
worse.
Job that he kept the job that he met this girl at? Does that girl still
work
there?
There?
Like, how
do they?
Have
to
do they yeah. I
it's
have so many
lot.
Questions, but
that's all they have for them. That's
and really
much,
the whole episode.
Yeah.
That's where we end. The preview looks
just
intense.
Wild.
The only thing that I hope is that I hope that Yasin is safe.
Yeah.
I hope that Ariella's C-section doesn't end like traumatically for baby or her.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and when I say baby, I
right.
mean like the
she
baby.
Seemed
not
like she
Vinyan.
Was all right because I was like, I mean, in the preview, she looked like
she
was fine yelling, bawling the baby.
Yeah. God.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we'll leave you guys. If you have any suggestions for any reality shows that you would like for us to cover between now and October the 11th.
But it's simply a month and like a few days.
Yeah, let us know. You guys have been listening a lot. A lot of you viewed the video that we made. We're hoping to make some more for y'all soon. Thanks for all your support. We're on all social media at High Time for True Crime. And our Gmail is hightimefortruecrime@gmail.com. Bye!